Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Well, you missed two really good hours of Leading Edge Medicine, but the next two are going to be just as good. I predict just as good. If you want to know where we are for all 4 hours every Saturday morning, simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, and push the podcast button at the top of the page, and you'll find out again where we are for all 4 hours every Saturday morning. And plus, we also have a new show, Beautiful You, with our one and only Dr. Samara Humat, which airs at 1 o'clock every Saturday. So you want to know where that is, what station, and all the details? Simply find everything out at lmclinic.com or go to Beautiful You.
Bellamedica.
Bellamedica.com.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Beautiful You, the radio show, every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2, is sponsored officially by Bellamedica.com.
Yeah, and the purpose is basically to empower people, to give them more information. You know, aesthetics has just mushroomed in the last 20 years, and a lot of people are looking for help, they're looking for services, non-surgical management of the aging face and body. And that's what I wanted to do, to create an opportunity for people to get more information without, you know, the pressure of the sale. So we're happy to provide the consultations, of course, and our consultations are at no charge. But we do a lot in non-surgical management of your looks as you are aging and what to do as you're getting older to make that facial look more relaxed and more youthful looking, and not have that constant look of frown or worry or being sad, actually, frankly, as the anatomy is changing, as time and gravity are taking their toll. It's not just the skin, it's the fat pads, it's the collagen fibers, it's the bones. And as they are mobilizing and changing for you, your looks are shifting. And so instead of looking your relaxed, happy, youthful self, you have those lines that make you look older, you have spots that exaggerate that, and then you have sagging skin, you know, downward turned mouth, and you may not be sad, but you may look sad or distressed. And so to avoid that, you can do simple things, and we can help you with that in the decision-making process and in the treatment phases.
That's right. Again, check everything out regarding Beautiful You with Dr. Humat by going to bellamedica.com. The website is really well done. There's lots of good stuff on there, good information, good teaching, videos, etc., and a lot of information about the services at Bellamedica. All right.
Bellamedica. Super excited.
Yes,
excited.
Very, very, very. Yeah. Bellamedica.com. Okay. We have got all the lines open right now. Well, that's not true. Judy from Hobart has called in. We'll get to her in a minute. But if you have a question, I guess we have three lines still available by calling us right now at 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. I've got Dr. Mixon here. He is available. I've got Dr. Humat here. So, oh, and I think in about 45 minutes, I've got Dr. Michael Gilbert coming in from Northwest Vision Institute. So if you're struggling with your eyesight, those kinds of things, boy, you definitely want to keep listening and give us a call with your questions, maybe a little ahead of time. I think he's coming in at 10:45. So do that. And again, the toll-free number, 1-888-312-5757.
Okay. You know, we started the last show talking a little bit about colorectal cancer.
Oh, yeah.
Do it again here.
That's good.
And the reason is, as you may know, that Chadwick Boseman died last night at the age of 43 from colon cancer, and he was the star of Black Panther, the Marvel movie. And it was his name to fame. If you watch Marvel or the Avengers, you know, you would know about it. But the point that I wanted to highlight with his tragic death is that colorectal cancer is now more prevalent in younger and younger people. So he died yesterday at the age of 43. He was diagnosed in 2016. And at that time, his colorectal cancer was at stage 3. And currently, it was at stage 4.
Mm. And stage 3 meant that back in 16, it had already spread outside of his colon.
That's right.
And was invading his other tissues.
Right.
Which that tells us he probably had actually developed the cancer 2 or 3 years before that.
Right.
So back around 2013 or so, we would guesstimate.
Yeah.
And so if he died in 2020 at what,
43.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, in 13, he'd been 7 years younger.
Yeah.
So he was about 36 or so when he caught cancer.
Yeah. And the tragic thing is that it is the third most common cause of cancer death in our country today. But in younger people, it is always diagnosed at a later stage because our screening processes begin at age 50 for colon cancer.
Precisely.
And so the symptoms are not recognized early. They're not screened for it. We don't pick it up. And yet for the last 10 years or so, the incidence is in the younger age group is increasing. Mm-hmm. And so the incidence in younger people is rising, more likely due to lifestyle choices and dietary issues, but still it's very tragic, and you know, we need to highlight this.
Well, let me explain something for our audience about colon cancer. Usually starts as a polyp. We have these, we refer to them as adenomatous polyps. They're little growths in your colon that are kind of on a long stalk. And the tip of that polyp is where the cancer almost always begins. And it starts at that tip, and then the cancer slowly grows its way down the stalk, and then eventually when it gets to the base, invades the bowel wall, the colon wall. Okay. You've normally got a safe period there in which if you went in and looked and found that polyp and removed the polyp, the person will never get a cancer. And if you remove it and there is a cancer in the polyp, if you get it before it reaches the base, you're not going to have a cancer. You've been cured just by removing that polyp. Our problem is we do not recommend, the CDC, Center for Disease Control, doesn't recommend screening people under 50 for colon cancer.
And why is that?
It's because used to be it was a disease of elderly people. And so people under 50 rarely got it in the past. And so most of it was in 60s and 70s and 80s. So we started screening in the 50s. That was considered to be early enough to pick up the vast majority of it. Because we are now a more affluent society and people are eating a lot more meat than they used to, and because our dietary habits are changing so that we don't have as much fiber in our diet, and that low veggie, low fiber situation with a lot of animal fats going through the colon, mm-hmm. especially people that like to grill their food and mm-hmm. char those fats, it produces carcinogens that trigger the growth of these polyps.
Exactly.
So we need to change it. We need to start screening for this much younger. Now, previously, the only way we had to screen for it was colonoscopy, which is a real big whoop-de-doo. You've got a couple of $1,000 each time you do it, and the prep is miserable. Mm-hmm. But we now have what's called Cologuard, which all you have to do is you poop on this little container.
At home.
At home, in your own little private bathroom, and you seal up the box and you send it to the lab.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually examine your stool for the genetic material from the cancers, from the tumors. And so they can identify about 90% of all the colon cancers just on a stool sample. So you know, that it would be very nice if we had everybody in their 30s and 40s to send a stool sample in. Once more, the problem is because CDC doesn't recommend it that early, then the insurance companies don't cover it.
Yeah.
And it's a $300 to $500 test.
Interesting.
And
okay.
Many people say, well, why should I spend $300 to $500? Yeah. I feel fine. The problem is that with colon cancer, you don't feel sick until it has not only grown down the polyp, invaded the bowel wall, and spread usually to your liver and your other organs is the first time you start getting pain and nausea and weight loss and fluid retention in the belly. Those symptoms that bring people to the doctor and have the doctor look are found after the cancer has already started spreading. And that was certainly the case with this young man. You know, in his 30s, he had a tumor that had already invaded the bowel, spread out across his abdomen, and now he died from it. When had we screened him early, it could have been picked up when it was curable.
Wow. Wow. So colon cancer always starts with the polyp?
99% of it.
Okay.
A tiny percentage may begin in the bowel wall itself, but that's pretty rare.
So the value of preventive care.
Value of preventive care. And once more, the downside of depending on a government agency to tell you when you should be tested.
Yeah.
Because they're behind the curve. Used to be that was an appropriate recommendation, but it isn't anymore because now younger and younger people are getting colon cancer.
And so how long will it be before it becomes standard practice?
I don't know.
Yeah.
5, 10, 15 years. How many people will die first? When a politician's child dies, we'll probably get a change.
Oh, yeah. Sheesh. Okay. Well, that's good. That reminds me of what you did for me with the calcium.
Calcium score, yeah.
Calcium
prevention,
score.
Yeah.
Not covered by insurance.
Right, right.
Not recommended by insurance.
Mm-hmm. But it's happened to save your life.
But it saved my life, quite literally, because you had a hunch. You just had certain indications. My primary care physician would never have suggested it in a million years. And, again, that's one of the advantages of being a patient at Longevity Medical Clinic, because we take a look at the whole patient, the whole person.
That's right.
So, anyway. All right. I think what I'll do, I've got all five lines open right now, or not open, full right now. We've got a lot of callers and a lot of questions. We'll go to a break about a minute early so that when we come back, we can start taking calls. Speaking of calcium, Judy from Hobart has a question about calcium. Then we've got questions about skin cancer, testosterone, diabetes, vitamin D, and lots more. It's going to be a great show. Don't go far. We'll be right back.
I am so glad I went to a seminar. The aging process is not easy. This is not something you can stop. But you can certainly feel a lot better along the way and not have as many of the symptoms that people think is normal when they aren't. And that's what this seminar and longevity will do for you.
Almost 18 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Pete Talbot, but I have Dr. Jerry Mixon here, founder, chief medical officer of Longevity Medical Clinic, and also Dr. Samir Umat, the assistant medical director at Longevity. So we've got the 1-2 punch here. So we're glad you're with us. Let us go to Judy in Hobart. Judy, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, and Pete. Mm-hmm. Glad to be on with you guys.
Thank you, ma'am.
I have a question about calcium. My PCP doctor years ago said that I did not need to take supplements for calcium anymore. So I'm just, you know, getting my calcium with my supplements that I take. My last lab work, my range for my calcium was 10.0, and it shows in there that the standard was 8.7 to to 10.3. So anyways, I asked my doctor, I wrote her and I asked her, should I be supplementing some more calcium? She says, now we are telling our patients that it is good to take supplements, 1,000 milligrams of the calcium daily, and the D, vitamin D, also 1,000. My question to you, please, is what is your opinion according to my range? I was thinking I have supplement, calcium supplements, which are 600 milligrams, and taking that two times a day.
Okay. Well, your calcium levels are not bad. For better or for worse, though, what you're putting in your mouth is almost totally unrelated to the calcium that we will see in your bloodstream.
That's right. In fact, you don't really want that serum value to be extremely high because that's a problem.
Right. Because most of the calcium we see in your blood is actually being pulled out of your bone.
That's right.
It's not coming from your diet. You know, there's a constant remodeling of bone that goes on. And we've got two kinds of cells. We have the osteoblast, which is a cell that produces new bone. Okay, it grows bone. And the osteoclast that dissolves bone. Now, the osteoblast is stimulated in its activity by testosterone and dehydroepiandrosterone.
Estrogen.
And and the osteoclasts that dissolve bone are inhibited by estradiol, by the estrogens. And so, as women age, both their testosterone and their estrogens are declining. You know, most people don't realize that young women actually have 2.5 times more testosterone than they have estrogen. All right. Testosterone is the primary androgen, the primary anabolic hormone that allows us to grow new tissue in both men and women. It's just women add estrogen on top of their testosterone and men are testosterone dominant. But it's that testosterone when you were a young woman that was causing you to make new bone. And that was pulling calcium from your diet and forcing it into the bone. So the testosterone and the vitamin D and the hypopituitary hormones were all involved in driving calcium into the bone. As you aged, your testosterone level is dropping, so you're not making bone as fast. Your estrogen level is dropping, so the osteoclast that dissolves bone is getting more active. And so you start dissolving bone faster and making bone slower. And as that's happening, you pull the calcium out of the bone, and that's the calcium we see in your bloodstream. It's not so much what you eat or take as supplements. It's what's coming in or out of the bone.
That's right. So in order to answer your questions of how much calcium you need, it's directed actually a lot by your bone density. Mm-hmm. So if your bone density scans are showing osteopenia and osteoporosis and it is getting worse, then you do need calcium and vitamin D and the anabolic hormones and weight-bearing activities to stimulate bone growth.
That's right. But if you don't have the hormone load and you don't have the vitamin D and you don't have the exercise, you're not going to make bone.
Okay. I get exercise and my bone density, I was
osteopenia.
Yeah, thank you. And so that's about where I'm at. And I'm 73 years old as of today. So
happy birthday.
Thank you. It's better than the alternative.
So,
anyways, do you feel that I could be okay taking 600 milligrams twice daily, adding?
You'd be okay, but it's not the calcium that's going to lay down new bone.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, it's the testosterone, dehydroepiandrosterone, and estradiol levels. That's the balance that's going to decide whether the calcium goes in the bone or keeps coming out of the bone.
Okay.
And see, we used to think that because your bones were thin and you were losing calcium, that what you needed to do was to add the calcium. Turns out that's not true. You can add all the calcium you want. And you can add so much calcium that you end up with muscle cramps and spasms and make yourself really miserable, but it doesn't increase bone density. It's under the hormonal control, and that's what's controlling where the calcium is going.
Okay.
Yeah, too much calcium can cause vascular problems, so you don't want to take too much. Well, and if you're getting enough dairy products in your diet, sardines and the like that have calcium, then, you know, you may not need that much more supplementation.
That's right.
So does a typical primary care physician understand what you just were teaching?
I don't know what they understand.
Well,
I know
what they practice.
I know what they do.
Are they recommending calcium?
Well, many are still are. Many still are, But the reality is it's not the calcium load that's doing it. The calcium load is reflecting what the hormones are doing, and changing the calcium doesn't help much.
Interesting.
And my doctor, and my doctor also feels that you know, it's good to go ahead and take some calcium now, but she also only likes to have you in the standard range. And I know Dr. Mixon says he wants us better than the standard range.
I want you as good as you were at 25. I will not accept normal for 70.
Okay, then.
All right.
Thanks, Judy. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You, right.
So nice to talk to you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Just another reason right there to get a free health analysis appointment, see what longevity is all about, see what your body is actually telling you. Take those two free tests, the blood test and the special in-body test. Oh, my goodness. More about that later.
She turned 73 today.
Yes.
I turned 73 yesterday.
That's right.
I want her running 4 miles with me in the mornings. Okay. I want her knocking off, you know, 40, 50 push-ups without getting too tired. I want her to be able to run and jump and leap and cavort and not worry about her bones. But that means she can't be normal for a person in her 70s. Normal for a person in your 70s is getting frail and weak,
slow,
and fragile, and that's just not the way I want it.
Yeah, right. No, I don't think anybody here would make the mistake of calling you weak and fragile, sir.
Normal stinks.
Normal's great when you're 18. Anytime over 50, normal stinks. That's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Let's go to Olympia and talk to Dave. Hello, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I had a question on the levels of vitamin D.
Okay.
I know NIH recommends 40,000 IUs a day, and currently I'm taking one pill at 5,000 IUs, plus I get between like 1 and 2 hours of sunlight. And I've heard that 15 minutes equates to like 1,000 IUs, so I'm probably around 9,000. Plus it's been recommended that I take 2 5,000 IU pills, which is 10,000 a day. Uh-huh. And I've read that even though research indicates that taking 10,000 IUs causes no reverse reaction, that the best way to avoid toxicity is not to take 10,000 for more than several days in a row.
All right.
I was wondering your opinion on that.
Okay, let me give you a different perspective, all right?
Okay.
I don't care what you put in your mouth. That's not what counts. It's what's in your blood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You need your 25-hydroxy vitamin D, which is the final metabolic active form. Okay? Because you start with vitamin D1, vitamin D2, vitamin D3. You're metabolizing this. What you're shooting for is the final 25-hydroxy vitamin D. We want that 25-hydroxy vitamin D to be somewhere between 60 and 90, in that range.
I'm a 39.
Okay. If you're 39, you are, quote, normal.
Yes.
But your immune system is not as robust as it should be. Your bone density is not as thick as it could be. Okay. So, and your cognition is probably slower than it should be. My target is 60 to 90. And whatever you have to put in your mouth to get that 25 hydroxy vitamin D over 60 but below 90, that's my target. And for me, it's 5,000 IU per day of vitamin D3. For Pete, I think it's up closer to 7,000. For some people, it's 10,000. For some people, it's 2,000. I'm not concerned with how much you're putting in, because that's a function of how well you absorb it and how you metabolize it.
Right.
What I'm asking is, what is the final active form in your tissues, and whatever it takes to get there, that's the right amount.
Right. And that amount can change depending upon what's going on.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes, for example, you had me on 10,000.
Uh-huh.
I use a day for a couple of years, and it was about 6 months ago you said, oh, this is interesting. You can drop to 7,000.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't measure, you don't know. If you do measure, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's our best answer for you, sir.
Stay there, right.
Okay.
Anything else? Thank you. All right, Dave, thanks so much for that. This is just making it so painfully clear why longevity is doing so well. We've done great for, what, almost 22 years. Longevity has been a success by any standard. However, I think the pandemic, there's a new awakening. People are realizing how critical it is to take care of your health, to be preventive, to take action, to be proactive. And this is why we're making available still the free health analysis appointments, and why we're kind of hard to keep enough of them out there for everybody. But I made the decision, we all sort of made the decision, to open up all of September. So all the way through September 30, we have appointments available. And you simply, primarily in the third week and fourth week, so you got to wait a while, but you just simply go to lmclinic.com and make your own appointment. There's only so many there. They'll be gone probably by the end of next week. They'll all be gone. So if you go now, you'll have the best variety. I think there's only 11 available in Tacoma. I think Kirkland has about 10 or 15, and Linwood has a little over 20. So it's all there. That's all we've got through September. So go to lmclinic.com. You get the two free tests, the free blood test, and also the special in-body test. And also, we announced we're kind of doubling down. We want to make it super easy for you. You have your choice of either $100 of free longevity supplements when you come in, or our two fitness books along with our fitness bands that are really cool, really cool. So your choice. Make your free health analysis appointment right away. First come, first serve at lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. We hope you will do that right away. So, time for a break. Let's, when we come back, we'll talk with Dan in Tacoma about diabetes, and then Mike in Seattle about testosterone, and then John in Tacoma about skin cancer. Well, I think that's going to be interesting. Don't go far. And then don't forget, in about 15 minutes, I think we've got Dr. Michael Gilbert coming in from Northwest Vision Institute. So we've got two lines open right now. Why don't, if you are struggling with your eyesight, you have questions about cataracts or laser or you name it, LASIK, you name it, you are going to want to call in now for Dr. Michael Gilbert. The number to call, 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757.
We'd just like to encourage your audience that hasn't come in and listened to a seminar and you folks to take a look at it. I honestly, you say 10 to 15 years on your advertisements. I think I feel better than I felt 30 years ago.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game, all in the wonderful game that we know as love.
You know, the fellow that just did the little testimonial coming back from the break. I didn't tell him what to say. We didn't know what he was going to say. He said he was feeling and functioning, I think he probably said, but he was feeling better today than he was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, this guy is not on drugs. I mean, he said that because he felt that way. We hear that 30 is a big difference. We hear all the time, oh, I feel better than I felt 5-10 years ago. I mean, every day. You must hear that constantly,
don't you?
Yeah. So it's not a slogan. It's not a marketing tool. It's something that our patients say voluntarily.
And, you know, they get used to the new them also. And so they go marching along, happy where they are. And then they'll go to a get-together. They'll meet other peers of their age or people they haven't seen in a while. And they go, oh, my God, I'm so much different than them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Or their family will say, okay, what are you doing? I need to know what you're taking. Mm-hmm. And then there are other members that know that they come to us will say, well, don't stop going to that place that you go to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what's really fun? In fact, we've had several doctors tell us this even on the air. We have a lot of patients at Longevity that are doctors. We've got MDs, NDs, gynecologists, surgeons, you name it, that are doctors. Their doctor, they came to be patients because they had patients.
They were also our patients.
They had, one ophthalmologist told us he became a patient because he had a husband and wife team that had, of his patients that were also ours. And after a year or so, he saw the change.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, yeah. But what he was saying was that he walked in the room and he had the chart in his hand that had their age.
Yeah.
And he walked in the room and said, no, this must be the wrong patient.
Wrong chart.
Yeah, because they're much younger than this says they are. And it turns out they were our patients. And so eventually the doctor ended up coming to us because he saw how our patients do.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, and that happens a lot. You know, it's really kind of neat that our patients are what triggers other doctors to become our patients.
That's right. Because
they see what they're doing.
Yep. Yep.
One thing, you know, we have the radio show. And for years and years and years, we also advertise during the week, Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. Well, we haven't advertised during the week for a couple of months now, maybe three months. Not that we won't in the future, because we are growing and we want to continue growing. So we probably are going to start advertising Monday through Friday again. But what we're seeing is a higher number of referrals from our existing patients.
Yeah, and you know what you said earlier, Jerry, so contrary to what used to be, because 20 years ago when this whole thing started, general physicians were completely against what we suggest.
Yeah. Maybe 5% were accepting of what we did.
Right.
And now, you know, we are the place that doctors come to feel better.
It's the norm, right? Yeah.
That's right. It's very exciting. I just pointed that out because it was coincidental. The guy during the break coming back, one of our patients said he's feeling better than he felt 30 years ago.
But you know my response to that.
Yes. Let's hear it.
Yep. I'm a data guy. Yes. And I don't know how to measure.
Feeling
20 years versus 25 years versus 30 years. You know, I mean, it's nice the guy picks a number.
Yeah.
But I can't validate or measure or track that. I can track how fast can he run, how far can he run, how high can he jump, how much can he lift. You know, what is his muscle versus fat ratios? What's his body fat ratios? You know, what is his grip strength? What's his blood pressure doing? I'm looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
And I want to see how well he is functioning.
Yeah.
And I'm delighted that he feels great. I'm delighted that he feels as good as he did 20 or 30 years.
It's a big deal to him
and her. Yeah. Subjective, but that's inside their head and I can't measure it.
Right.
You know. But I'm delighted. I mean, I love it when people say, oh, yeah, I feel so wonderful. I feel like I did, you know, 30 years ago or my romantic life is like, you know, our romantic life is like what was when we got married.
Yeah.
You know, we feel passion for each other again.
Yeah.
I love those things.
Yeah.
But I can't measure them.
No.
And I need measurements because that's how I guide the clinic.
That's right.
How well do the patients do?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And many of those we do in the clinic. Some we do send outside. For example, you know, we send our patients for regular bone density scans. And then when at age 80, your bone density scan is a little bit better than it was the last time you did it, trust me, that's not normal aging.
No.
That is the reverse of normal aging.
But don't you love it when your patients come in and you know, they've had their DEXA scan two or 3 years apart, and their bones are better, than they were two
or
3 years
ago. And the doctor says, oh, it's normal. And I go, wait a minute, that normal means you actually got better.
That's right, yeah. You used to have osteoporosis. Now you have normal bone density.
Yeah.
You know, that is not normal. No.
I know that you measure everything like crazy people at Longevity. I mean, it's so sophisticated, the blood tests and things like that. You just mentioned marital intimacy and passion and what have you that often returns. Do we measure that? I'm just curious.
It's hard to measure.
Well,
that.
No, but I mean, a couple will know if they're having sex three times a week, and it used to be once a quarter. Yes.
So the doctors can ask those questions, and you can leave it open-ended. And every physician is unique in how they address it. Some address it more so than others. You can say, you know, are there any issues that you would like to bring up? Or you can just say, is everything okay? Or my women will normally tell me about vaginal dryness or some symptoms. And then if things are better, they will usually tell me. Because, you know, and the classic example I think I've said once before is that my beautiful patient who kind of leans forward a little bit and kind of literally whispers in my ear, you know, sex is better now. And it's like she never came to me because it was a problem. But in the course of what we did for her, it is better, and she decided to tell me. And I'm happy, and then I can start the conversation of, are there other issues related to that you would like to address?
And I would imagine isn't that on the rather sophisticated or complete medical questionnaire?
Well, it is.
When they become
a
patient?
It is.
So they can address it.
Yes. And we ask, we don't have to ask, it's on a written form,
so
that they don't get embarrassed.
Right.
That, you know, we are assessing, you know, romantic and sexual issues in their form for men and for women, because there's somewhat different questions for each one. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that gives us a baseline.
Yes.
But, you know, healthy human beings are sexual creatures. They just are. And that sexuality is expressed in different ways, to different degrees. Some are high drive, some are low drive, some are somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can't say everybody has to be this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What you're doing is you're saying, where are you now compared to where you used to be?
Right.
Sure.
Because, you know, if you were a very high drive person, and, you know, when you were young, you could not get by without daily sex. And now you're having sex twice a week. Most people say you're doing fine, but you're not where you used to be. On the other hand, if when you were young, you only needed sex once a month, and you still need sex once a month. Well, hey, you're doing fine.
If you're happy with it, yeah, right.
Well, you are what is normal for you.
Yeah,
you see?
What
we have to do is say, when you were young and healthy, what was your level of function? What was good for you when you were 20 or 25?
I think
that's what we're trying to recreate.
I brought up the subject. Again, it's a difficult subject for a lot of people to discuss. But what concerns me the most is people that used to have a great sex life, romantic life with their spouse, and they don't have it anymore, and they figure it's just because they're old.
Normal aging.
Normal aging, and they figure there's nothing they can do about it.
And, well, just as cognition, just as brain function declines with age, and lung function declines with age, and heart function declines with age, sexual function typically declines with age.
Right.
But because it usually happens doesn't make it good.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really want your brain to slow its function. You don't really want your heart and your lungs and your kidneys and your bones to decrease their function any more than you want their sexuality to decrease its function.
Yeah.
The whole body should work as well as humanly possible.
Yeah. And with sexuality, you know, vascular disease plays a role in it. Vaginal dryness plays a role. Risk for infections, changes in your health, you know, some other disease may impact your ability to have intercourse. So they do play a role in that. And people kind of chalk it off to normal aging. But we can make a difference by improving your underlying endocrine system. That automatically makes a big difference in your desire.
Yeah.
And your ability to have a good, happy, healthy sexual relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, we can move on in the sense that there are a lot of categories to health. That's just one.
Sure.
And just don't develop that fatalistic attitude that just because you're getting older, there's nothing you can do about it. That really is ultimately what longevity is all about.
But that is our attitude towards your entire body and functional levels, from your memory to your problem solving to your bone density to your exercise tolerance, every aspect of your life. We don't accept that normal age-related decline. We recognize that it is normal, but it isn't desirable, and we do everything we can to raise your function to the highest level that is humanly possible.
We know for a fact that a lot of people are listening to the show right now, and they're listening together as couples. You know, married couples will listen to the show. I think it's a great question to just ask yourself. We got to go to a break right now, so let's go to a break. But ask yourself during the break, are you happy with this area of your life, your energy? Are you happy with your stamina? Are you happy with your sex life? And just to answer the question, you know, yes, no. And if the question, if the answer is no, ask, do you want to do something about it? Yes or no? You know, maybe, hey, you're just so committed to going downhill. But if you're starting to realize that, yes, there are things you can do, we'd love to have you make a free health analysis appointment.
That's now, I love going downhill on skis. Really fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But that's the only way I want to go downhill.
That's right.
Or on a toboggan.
So you're,
oh, you haven't? Oh, it's
I love skiing.
You're together with someone you love, or you're just by yourself, and you ain't happy with the aging process. Is there something you want to do about it? Just answer the question to yourself. Don't write me a letter. Just answer the question. Yeah,
please don't send a video.
And if the answer is yes, make a free health analysis appointment. If you don't measure, you don't know. At least if you measure, you will know what your options are. Go to lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. You, I promise you, you'll be glad you did.
Born to be with you.
My husband and I have been listening, so you guys are absolutely delightful. The three of you make this perfect gem. We are planning to become patients very soon, and we love the information that Dr. Mixon conveys. It can't be found anywhere else.
By your side, satisfied through and through,
cause
I was born to be with you.
Yes, I know your wife's favorite song.
Yes.
So there you go. The Cordettes.
Beautiful song.
That's it. Okay.
And you didn't even remember the Cordettes when I brought
yes,
it out.
Yes, that's
to you.
Right.
No. Well, I remembered them. I didn't remember their name.
I said,
you're
yeah.
right. Yeah. I mean,
and they did Mr. Sandman.
Mr. Sandman. They had a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, a few big
yeah.
ones.
Kind of fun
yeah.
songs.
All right. Let's, again, oh, by the way, I just got reprimanded from our call screener. I didn't give out the phone number for the free health analysis appointments. Yes, you can make one online. In fact, about 95% of people do at lmclinic.com. You just push on the button that says schedule an appointment. That's painfully obvious, I guess. And then you select the clinic, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. And then when you select the clinic, the schedule for that clinic pops up on your screen for September now, because here we are. And you just select the time, the date, what have you. It's really easy to do. Just click and boom, it's yours. And we were talking about couples. Click two that are next to each other, side by side. So come together, back to back. It's really a cool thing to do. Do it together. But if you don't have a computer, that's okay. About 6% of you don't. And you just call us at 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. And call on Monday. Well, you can even call today and leave a message, but call on Monday. And there probably will still be some available, even though what we've opened up for September is not that many, and near the end of September when they're available. So get them now. And if you need to call, 866-86-YOUNG. All right. Seattle is where we're headed. to Mike. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, doctors and Pete. My question is how to lower my sex hormone binding globulin, which is at 95 nanomoles per liter. My testosterone is 620. Free T is 6. I am 82, 159 pounds, 6'1", but I don't run 4 miles a day.
Okay. Well, with when you say your free T is 6, I presume that's with a normal range up to 15 or so. Is that right?
Well, that's a LabCorp number, but I've got a whole bunch of numbers here that I've had over the years, so it's in the 5 to 6 picograms per milliliter range. Some of them are your numbers. Some of them are my numbers from LabCorp.
Yeah, because, see, it depends on which of the machines they're doing your test on. The normative values for free testosterone, for instance, on the machine we like to use is, you know, up to 210. Whether it's a different machine they use, a different technology, in which the normative value goes up to like 15 or 16. And so, you know, if you're 6 with a normative up to 15, okay, you're kind of below the mid-range, and we'd probably like to see you up around 9 or 10.
Well, your number was, oh, yeah, I see it's different. Free T was 41 in March.
Wow.
Okay, see, that's pretty low.
That's low.
Yeah, that's very low.
Man, my total was 444, whereas LabCorp a couple of months later was 626 total and 6.0
See, with our
free T.
Yeah, with our normative values, you normally would expect the free T to be 1 to 2% of the total. That's generally where most people run, in that 1 to 2%. Now, that's 100%
Yeah, 41 out of, 444 looks like a 10% for that March number. Yeah. But I thought, I was wondering if there's something that can be done to lower that.
Yeah, there are some things.
Because over the maybe last 10 years, it's creeping up.
Sure. Where's your estradiol running?
Estradiol, where are you? It's 33 in August, 27, 33, 30, 29.
Okay. All right.
So it's, so yeah, I have the ideal, I think I got it from you guys, is 20 to 30.
Yeah, we're trying to keep it, or at least in the low 30s. You know, the so-called normative goes up to about 65, but that's usually because older men have a lot of fat and they're turning testosterone into estrogen. So you know, we try to keep it 20s to lower mid 30s most of the time, unless they're having cognitive problems. Now, if your brain function is decreasing, we'll run the estrogen higher because the higher estrogen improves.
No kidding, I didn't know that.
Yeah, improves memory and so on, and verbal abilities. So, you know, where our target is depends on the individual and what it is we're trying to do.
We treat the
patient, not the lab. Generally, I know you already know this just from your discussion, but let me expound a little bit for the general population, the patients out there, or people that don't understand. Testosterone is the primary anabolic hormone for men and women. We measure testosterone in nanomoles per milliliter, and we measure, or in deciliter, we measure estrogen in picograms. And so if you equalize the two, even a 20-year-old woman has 2.5 times as much testosterone as estrogen. So testosterone, to make bone and muscle and deep tissues, is critically important for both genders. It's just women add a lot of estrogen on top of it that men don't tolerate, and that's what provides that subcutaneous fat layer that makes them smooth and slightly rounded, and a healthy man is lean and hard and angular because we don't have enough estrogen to soften our curves. Okay. The sex hormone binding globulin, testosterone, is bound irreversibly to sex hormone binding globulin. Once it's bound, it stays bound. You can't actually get the testosterone off to use it, to get it into the tissues. Part of your testosterone is reversibly bound to albumin, and albumin will store it, but then if you really need it, you can pull it off the albumin and use it. So it's biologically available, And then the third form, the free testosterone, is the form that is not bound to any protein and is immediately available to get into the tissues and be used. Okay. So sex hormone binding globulin is the one that bonds or binds to most of our circulating testosterone and ties a lot of it up. So if we can lower the sex hormone binding globulin, we raise the free testosterone and the biologically available testosterone. So mm-hmm. The question he's asking is, how do we do that? Well, one of the major triggers for forming sex hormone binding globulin is estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
But your estrogen levels are not especially high, so that's not what's binding you so much. The other question is, well, what else can we do? Well, boron
mm-hmm.
is a mineral, and we often raise boron levels to free up testosterone and raise your free testosterone. So I guess that's our first step. Today, we're going to have to put you on hold. The music says we got to take a break. So we'll be
back. Yeah, Mike, you just hang on there. I guess Jerry has more that he'd like to share with you. So don't go far. We'll put you on hold. And when we come back, we'll take up Mike. And then we'll also talk with John in Tacoma about skin cancer, Bobby in Kirkland about various health issues. And maybe you would like to call with your question at 1-888-312-5757. You do that at 1-888-312-5757. Couple of minutes of news, station ID, the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back.